God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified, 'twas for sinners Jesus died. Oh, the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from above, God is light and God is love. This wonderful hymn brings before us the truth of God's grace and mercy, which is sent forth to every one of us. Grace is his favor shown to the guilty, and mercy is his favor shown to the miserable. Now sin has made us both guilty and miserable, but God, who is rich in mercy, and for his great love wherewith he loved us, has provided a Savior for sinners who are guilty and miserable. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read what has produced man's misery is sin. What has caused his guilt is sin. Sin is lawlessness. It is against God. And this is true of all of us by nature. The verse 1 of chapter 2 of Ephesians says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. In times past, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and among whom also we all had our conversation or manner of life in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is the condition of all men, of you, dear listener, by nature. And if not converted to God, this is true of you now. But you need not despair. There is hope. There is salvation. We read that God, who is rich in mercy, and for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. I desire today in these few moments with the book to seek to set forth the grace and mercy of God toward you and toward me and toward all men. God delights in mercy. We read in Micah chapter 7, who is like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. God is angry with the wicked. God is angry against sin. He cannot tolerate it, but he loves the sinner. His mercy toward the sinner has been exhibited in the fact that he came into this world in the person of his Son. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is the one that we would desire to present to you today in these few moments with the book. And oh, the glory of the grace that's shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from above, God is light and God is love. Now the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and to do so he was crucified. Being crucified, he showed on the one hand that he loved us with a love that is beyond measure. God is love. Also, he has shown to us that he is light, because God's hatred of sin is seen at Calvary, when in all the holiness and righteousness of God, he lifted up his rod of judgment against his beloved Son, who was made sin for us. The Lord Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for sin. His blood that was shed was the price that alone could put it away and meet the guilt of man's need. But on the cross also, where man's hatred for God was fully displayed, it is there that we see God's love and God's righteousness, God's mercy, God's grace displayed as well. Oh, dear friend, this is the one who desires to have you know that he died for you. 'Twas for sinners Jesus died. The Lord Jesus, we read in 1 Peter 3, suffered for sins, the just one for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Our sins deserve judgment, but the Lord Jesus loved us, and he bore the judgment that we deserved. This price that he paid, his own precious blood, has satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God who is light. And we see now shining in the Savior's face, because of the finished work accomplished on Calvary, we see the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face. From the glory, the Lord is showing forth the fact that he is gracious, he is merciful, he is willing to save. He's not willing that any should perish. He is long-suffering. Now through his death and resurrection from among the dead, the man Christ Jesus, the Son of God, has conquered sin and death. And the proof is in his present place in the glory. Sin and death no more shall reign. Jesus died and lives again. In the glory's highest height, see him, God's supreme delight. It is our privilege to point you to the one who lives in the glory this very moment, the one who was victorious over sin, death, and the grave by his death at Calvary, and then by his resurrection from among the dead on the first day of the week. Here on earth, for 40 days, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, and then he ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high. And there he lives now in the glory. See him, God's supreme delight. God has been well pleased with what his Son has done. He has glorified him on the earth by his life that he lived and by the death which he died. He has finished the work which God gave him to do. And now see him, crowned with glory and honor. This is the man Christ Jesus, who is not on the moon, and he's not on the most distant planet. He is in the Father's house, in the paradise of God, the right hand of the Majesty on high, in the third heaven, the place where he has gone to prepare for those that will trust him. Sinners who deserve his judgment are going to fill heaven because they have received his grace and his mercy. And this is what we want you to know of and what we want you to receive today. To receive it from him. The Lord speaks to us through his word. From the glory, he has sent his message to you. It is good news. It is the gospel. The gospel is good news, and it's good news from God himself. The Apostle Paul could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all them who believe. And our hymn says, all who in his name believe, everlasting life receive. Lord of all is Jesus now. Every knee to him must bow. We would point you to the one who declares this message to you from the glory. And how does it come to you from the glory? It comes through the medium of his precious holy word, the Bible. This is the authority for all that we have to say. And this is the communication of God to your soul. You have a Bible, thank God for it. Read it and believe it. The Lord Jesus says, all who in his name believe, in words as we find in John chapter 6, verse 47, for instance, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Those are words that came from the lips of the Savior when he was here. They are recorded in the everlasting written word which you have in your hand. They are intended for you to be believed. God desires that you might know that he wishes to show you grace and mercy. And all who in his name believe. Do you believe in him? Don't you feel your need of him? Aren't you groping for something to satisfy your soul? You've tried everything in this life. You've tried the pleasures of this world. You've tried perhaps mere, empty, formal religion, and you have been listening perhaps to the whisperings of Satan and also the blatant propaganda of unbelief of men who still hate the Lord Jesus. Oh, are you being swayed in your thoughts by the world and its propaganda, which is the world fast hastening to destruction and under the judgment of God? Will you not this moment stop and consider where you're going? Dear friend, if you are still walking according to the course of this world, you are under the influence of the prince of the power of the air. And if you continue as you are, you'll die in your sins. But God is rich in mercy, and He desires your salvation. He wants to show you His grace. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to have everlasting life. He doesn't want you to perish. All who in His name believe, everlasting life receive. Lord of all is Jesus now. Every knee to Him must bow. Through His death and resurrection, He has become Lord of all. He is not only the Creator, but He is Lord, and everyone has been purchased by Him. But to be purchased is something different than being redeemed. To be purchased means that you belong to Him, and all men belong to Him and must give account to Him. Every one of us shall give account of ourselves to God. And we read, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess, I am Lord to the glory of God the Father." Now, have you bowed the knee to Him in repentance? Have you opened your heart to receive Him by faith? Have you confessed Him with your mouth as your Lord and Savior? This is what we bring to you today, that in the words of the gospel, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, and you need to be saved. All who in His name believe, there is no other name for salvation than the name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus is that which means salvation itself. And He is salvation. He is the Savior. There is none other. Salvation is not in your works. It's not in formal religion. It's not in religion at all. It is in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe in His name means that you trust Him and all that is implied by His name. Trust Him as the Savior, the one who died at Calvary and rose again for you. To believe in His name is to personally appropriate Him for yourself. To believe that it was for you He hung on the cross. For you He was raised. And to you He now gives His invitation to come. He says, "Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." And He pleads with you, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Coming to Him is believing on Him. Believing on Him is trusting Him, taking Him at His word, and He is true to His word. Again, I repeat what He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me hath everlasting life." Now, this is the word of the gospel, and God, by His word, would bring life to your soul. You are born again through the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I would urge you today to turn to this one in simple faith, because, you know, He is coming again. The last verse of our song says, "Christ the Lord will come again. He who suffered once will reign." The coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ has always been the hope of the Lord's people. He has promised, "I will come again and receive you unto Myself." He said that to His own. He is coming, first of all, for His own, for the believer. The dead in Christ shall be raised first. All those who have died with faith in Christ, their bodies shall be raised and be united with their spirits and souls, which are now with the Christ, which is far better, now with the Lord, at home with Him in the glory. But at His coming again, which may take place at any moment, the dead shall be raised, and the living who are trusting in Him shall be changed, and we shall all be raptured to meet the Lord in the air and to be taken to the Father's house. He is coming again, and then He is coming as the one who will judge the world in righteousness. He's coming to put down all lawlessness, all sin, all unrighteousness, all iniquity. He will judge apostate Christendom. He will judge the political powers that are without Him. He will judge the whole world. He will judge apostate Israel. But He is coming, and He's going to set up His kingdom in righteousness. And He is going to reign with those who have trusted Him, You, dear fellow believer, who have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, shall reign with him. And then you will be amongst that company that every tongue at last shall own, worthy is the Lamb alone. When we get to the glory, the Lord is going to be the center of our attraction, the one who is going to bring forth the praise and worship of the hearts redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We're going to sing unto him who loveth us and hath loosed us from our sins in his own blood. We're going to sing a new song, yea, unto the one who has redeemed us by his blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. We're going to acclaim him as the worthy one. He is worthy. Do you know him as your Savior and Lord, your Redeemer? Do you know the song of the redeemed even now? Have you seen the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face? Do you know that it was for you that Jesus died? You may, and this is the purpose of this broadcast, to inform you that if you do not know, that you might know and believe and be saved. And those who know him as Savior, to you we would say, oh, live for him. Expect him. And even now, while we wait to see his face, may we give him the worship and praise which is his due. Worthy is the Lamb alone. May God bless his word to every listener today.